Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
But anyways, I want to open up and first by thanking, with today being Sanctity of Life, we're celebrating, celebrating Sanctity of Human Life in America, and I want to thank Sandy, Phil Ann, Kathy, everybody, and everyone in the congregation that helps at the Pregnancy Resource Center. I pray that God would continue to bless that ministry and everybody involved. Now, after I say that, today my message doesn't really have anything to do with Sanctity of Human Life. But it does have to do with it. Yes, exactly. It does have to do with life. And last week and a little bit this week, I was preparing a message, and I was maybe 2, 3, 4 hours into the other one, and God stopped me, and I couldn't think of anything else to talk about. I said, "Well, Lord, you got to give me something, because 4 slides isn't enough." So I prayed. I opened up the Bible, and I'm flipping through it, and I stopped in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, and I don't know the last time I was in the book of Ezekiel, which is interesting. But for those of you that don't know, Ezekiel was a son of a priest. I think his name was, I don't know if I'm saying it right, Buzi, I don't know. I'm not sure, but Ezekiel was a prophet from 593 to 571 BC, and he was given the job to proclaim God's messages on the crowded and hostile streets of Babylon, where they were taken captive, not so much to make them slaves, but they were just to like divide Israel up. There were so many people, and I guess the Babylonians didn't want them to have so many people in one location. So even though he and the exiles were hundreds of miles away. Hold on, let me get this. 100 miles away from the promised land, he was there just, you know, telling them, "Hey, God isn't going to leave us in this dark, dark place or despair. He's faithful and just." So let me pray before we get into the word here. Lord God, I thank you for your love, Lord. I thank you for your forgiveness. Father, I thank you for the great news that was given to Rusty and Tom on Thursday, Lord. It's been 10 years in the waiting, Lord, and as your word says, as we wait like eagles, as we wait on the wind, Father, we shall renew our strength, and I'm just so grateful, and us as a body is grateful, Lord. But Lord, I ask for the word today, my word would be yours, that the congregation would have ears to hear, Father, and let the word plant a seed in the heart, Father, and shoot roots deep into the heart, Father. In your precious holy name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay, so like I said, Ezekiel 47, this is verses 1 and 2. We're going to start there. "He brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side." So water in Scripture most times or almost always identifies with life and or the Holy Spirit. In verse 2, it says it's just trickling. As it's leaving the temple, it's trickling out of the one side. As we go through Scriptures and like as we're reading, you guys, you start to notice God always seems to use something small or insignificant or someone small. Like, you know, Christ came as a baby. David was a teen, and a teen with a slingshot, and he delivered the whole nation. Christ was saying, we can have the faith as small as a mustard seed. Like, these are all very, and it moves a mountain. So these are, God can work with something small. Insignificant, you know, and just like we're just this kind of people moving around, and we're small, and God can still use any one of us. So when we first experience God's love and accept Jesus as Savior and are born again, our faith is tiny. It's new, it's tiny, but it believes. Anyways, I'll read the scripture in my notes. I didn't load yet, but going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000, and he led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000 cubits, and it led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Yet again he measured, and 1,000, and the river was so deep he couldn't pass through it, for the water has risen, and it was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. You notice how he's using a measuring line, and he stops and uses it 4 different times. And I think as we walk in Christ, we develop understanding and wisdom in the same type of format, like a little bit at a time. You know, and he can reveal much, but he knows that if he's going to reveal much, we can handle and understand and manage the wisdom that he's given us. If you notice, like, as you're leaving the temple, the water where he's standing, he's shown him this river that's coming out from the temple, and it's only ankle deep. And when I was reading, it just hit me, like, sometimes we're only standing, we're willing to go so far, and we're only standing in a river that's giving us life. And you're in the, you know, a lot of people that can't swim, they only go in the water that, you know, ankle deep or maybe knee deep. My mother-in-law, she can't swim, and she doesn't like going anything past her ankles, so... But when you're at ankle deep, you're still standing, you know. You're still in control there. You might be standing in the river. You know, you got some touch in your feet, but you're sort of calling your own shots. You're not, I'm not allowing the flow of life the flow of the Holy Spirit to direct me. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Araba, if I'm saying that right, Tom, I'm not sure, and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from Engedi to Englaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea." So what's interesting about this prophesied river flowing from the temple, it's going and it's getting wider and wider, deeper and deeper. And Ezekiel was saying, the deeper it got, like, you can only swim. And when we're swimming, to go to the bottom, you got to leave the surface. Okay, and you got to go down to the bottom and to uncover some things. And I believe as when we get off the surface, we go deeper than just our outer being, and you get to the surface of the bottom of your heart, and you start asking yourself some hard questions, and you talk with God. You got to reveal some things. It's not always easy. It's uncomfortable. And but what's interesting about this river, it's going to the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is the lowest body of water on the earth. It's located 1,300 feet below sea level, and the deepest point of the deepest water there is 1,300 feet as well, which is incredible. There is so much salt and mineral in this place that it cannot support any type of life at all. And at this point, I missed a good portion of what I wanted to possibly say, maybe. But you're probably wondering, like, what's so great about the Dead Sea, Cody? It's not the sea that's important. It's the power of the life-giving river flowing from the temple into the sea to make it fresh. 10 years ago, I was a young man, or I wouldn't call myself a man, but I had just graduated high school. I was heading nowhere good, and I was heading there pretty quick. 4 days after I graduated high school, my girlfriend at the time, me and her, had made a decision to have an abortion. And we can't ever take that decision back. I'm not quite sure. Honestly, I'm not quite sure how it affected her or what, you know. But I can compare my life to the Dead Sea at this time. So 4 days after graduation, we make that decision. The very next day, here's a picture of Cody in handcuffs walking into a courthouse. And it was on the front page of the newspaper. Like I said, at this time, there was no life going on. I mean, I was breathing and I was like moving around, but I can identify with the Dead Sea, and there's not, like I said, there's no life there. But thank God my story doesn't end there, and neither did anyone's here. So about a year later after this, I was still kind of living the same way, but God got a hold of me, and he pulled me out of the muck and the mire and out of the pig pen, just as he did the prodigal son, and he handed me a robe and a ring, and he said, "Son, you're forgiven, and welcome home." And I can stand here today, and I look back on a lot of the things I did, and even the decision about the abortion thing, and I know Christ has covered me, and he's covered you guys of all your sins, and what I don't know what led me to posting this picture on here and kind of sharing that with you, but I just want, if there is somebody in your life, or if you feel like you are too far from the gift of salvation, or they're too far to be reached, I take a look at this picture once in a while, and it doesn't bring back memories of yes, I don't ever want to go back there, but it brings back the purest memory of grace that I can think of and that I remember. And like I said, no person is too far from the gift of life, the free gift of salvation. We're all living proof that God delights in second chances, so. And coming from, you know, like I said, I was an outsider of the Christian walk, and it brought me to this story of the Samaritan woman at the well, and I love it because Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans, like zero. Nonetheless, a rabbi talking to a woman was like forbidden, and Jesus chose an outsider, a Samaritan for one, and like I said, a woman for two, and also he chose where I was in my current state to reveal himself to me as the Messiah. And the water here Jesus is speaking about to the woman, I'll read the scripture first. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Like I said earlier, the water here Jesus is speaking of is the same kind of living water that is flowing into the Dead Sea and giving it life. And it's not only bringing life, it's bringing it abundantly to everyone and everything it touches. It has immeasurable power to renew, to restore, and resurrect life, just as it has in mine. So Wednesday, this is a little bit I guess I can tie it in somehow, but Wednesday I'm sitting at, well, we'll start on Sunday. Sunday I'm like, I need a new cell phone. So I go over to my carrier there, and I got conned into buying two new iPhones, and the lady, she gives me the price. She's like, "This is what your bill will be. You'll get this much credit for your trade-in." I said, "Okay, great. We can do that." She then calls me 2 days later, or maybe it was 3 days later, because it was now Wednesday and I'm eating lasagna. And she tells me, she says, "Hey, that the trade-in that you gave us, I read the promotion wrong. You're not going to get the $500. So instead of the bill being a lot less, now it's $30 that I really didn't have to put out. So I'm like angry at this point. I'm like, "Oh man, I'm going back up there and I'm going to say some not so nice things to this lady." But as like I said, I'm sitting there and I'm like kind of angry, and I was like conned and misled, and the scripture of this Matthew 22, 17 through 21 is like going through my head, and I'm like, "What the heck, Lord?" A lot of times when I'm reading, I'll get something going on, but not when I'm eating lasagna. And it was just playing over and over in my mind. It says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's." And I'm saying, "Okay, Lord, I'll give to T-Mobile, whatever. They can have the money that they conned me into." But then it hit me, because I just had started this message right before I started eating. I had to switch it and stuff. And that's when it hit me. Prior to saying that, Jesus asks the Pharisees, "Whose inscription is on the coin?" And they say Caesar's. And that's when Jesus says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God." But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, scripture says that we are made in his likeness, having his image. So this like wonderful revelation, I was like, this is incredible. It seems to me that we have the inscription of God on us. So is it not only right that we give to God what is God's, which is our life? Oop, we got to go back. Tom, go back one, please. And like I said, if that's the case, then that's what we need to do. And it hit me. It was like amazing. And my wife was in the shower, and I run right in there. I burst in the door. I'm like, honey, you won't believe it. I said, I never even heard this taught before. And she wasn't that blown away by it, but I was. I said, honey, this is amazing. I never put this together. But anyways, like I said, we have been bought with a price. I skipped something here. See, like I said, what we should give to God, what is God's? And if God's inscription is on us, we got to give it to Him. When we lose our life for the gospel's sake and His sake is when we truly find life. So I had, maybe it's a change of heart or just, I don't know what God's doing, but I would tend to grip so tightly to the things of this world and maybe, you know, striving after things that it doesn't really matter. And I just felt like it's time. And we've all been bought with a price, and I think it's all of our time that, you know, we've been given this gift, and we've been given new life, and I think it's time that I start living that way and start really sharing what's been given to me and giving it away freely, because I didn't pay for a thing. I didn't deserve it. None of us deserved it, and God is calling us to that. As shown in the picture, back to Ezekiel, the river I was speaking about earlier. The people are standing on the banks of the river, and they're only watching it go by. I like going by a creek and a river, or if I'm fishing, I just stand. You can listen to it. I enjoy it. But I believe God wants us in the river, experiencing the life abundantly, going where the Spirit leads us, carrying out the very purpose God predestined each of us to do. God doesn't just want us on a Sunday. Well, He wants us on a Sunday morning, but He also wants us on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday. He wants us every day, every moment. You see, a river is constantly moving. I've never seen a river that stood still, or a creek. The clock is always ticking. It's always... Recently, I got some news about my mother, and it kind of... Don't be frightened or anything that I say that. We got good news again this week, but it made me take a view at life a lot differently. You know, that we all have a birthday, we all have a death date too, and as these times, we don't know when it's going to come. So my mindset towards life has changed a little bit, and I'm grateful for it. But the time, like I said, the time is always ticking. And are we only standing by sort of like watching the river go by and watching time sort of carry on? The scripture in Ezekiel depicts an image I believe every Bible-believing church should obtain. We should be a living illustration of the flowing, deepening, growing life that takes place when the Holy Spirit manifests within us as a community of believers. Oh. Pardon me. Tom, can you go back? I don't think there's anything I had to say more about that river. It's hard because every time I touch the screen, it just jumps. But I know today many of you guys might have wanted to hear, been expecting a message about abortion or sanctity of life. But God led me here. And I didn't understand why, but the country we live in today is, by human standards, the greatest country on the planet. But if we look past the surface of, you know, a flag that flies around and freedom that they preach, and we see a nation in decline, actually. Not spiritually, not only spiritually, and most importantly spiritually, but governmental and families are in decline as well. Many of us point to outside issues, the president, the economy, our neighbors, the justice system, or education. Could it be that it's due to us as a nation leaving God's statutes and commands and following our own direction? Our culture is drying up around us because there's no spiritual water leaving the doors of the churches. It has to start with us, the church. if we want to impact our neighbors or our communities or our nation, like you guys do the work at the Pregnancy Resource Center, and that is fantastic and great, and I thank God for that ministry. But there is other ministries out there that are kind of just going by their own standards, and they're not carrying the spiritual, they're not taking that spiritual water out of the church with them into those ministries. And I think as a church and as a body of believers, I think we just need to get off the banks of the river and quit watching it go by and start swimming and start growing and start learning. And most importantly, start loving. I was driving to work yesterday and I wanted to just add this. The longer that we walk with Christ and rest in that river, the more our faith begins to grow. The miracles take place. We get to see miracles, memories of breakthroughs that in the natural mind don't make sense. A lot of times, you know, you'll hear people say, I don't know how the heck that happened. Or you hear reports of doctors give somebody a month to live and they show up next week and the cancer is cured and they have no idea. But by, you know, as we continue to walk, like I said, we start collecting tangible evidence because God is invisible, you know, and a lot of people have a hard time believing in something that they can't see. But as I look back over the last 10 years, and Phil Ann is great, and she bought me a journal, and I start writing in that sucker, and you're able to record things and record words from God, and you know, I'm praying for this person, and sometimes the prayer doesn't happen yet, or sometimes it happens in 10 minutes, and you know, and like I said, it's all evidence, tangible evidence that you can grasp, and you can pick it up and read it, that the God of this universe that created each and every one of us is alive. And let us begin to, as it says in this scripture, let us begin to bear the fresh fruit each month. By the living water we shall not wither nor fail, for we belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. By his blood we are covered and granted new life, for we are alive.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.